Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. Great to be here with you once again as we're studying the nature of mankind. And I am in my new office, actually. I moved my office upstairs, looking out at this beautiful fall day. A little rainy, but I love the changing of the colors. It's fantastic. Oh, here's something annoying. You hear that? My new chair has got a bad squeak in it. So if you hear that, I will try not to move too much in my chair so as to annoy you. But happy Friday. Hope you have a great weekend ahead of us. But before we get to the weekend, I'm going to give you some truth to enjoy. We have been studying the nature of mankind. What is man? We discovered he is soil. And we've been talking about the soul. Go back and listen to these programs. These are fundamental, fundamental truths. And because they're so fundamental, we put together a series of booklets for you at studyshelf.com. All you do is go to studyshelf.com. And I'm actually going there right now just to make sure everything is copacetic. And I know it is, but it's studyshelf.com. And if you go to that page, it's Clyde Pilkington's website. On the right side, you scroll down, there's like a reddish-looking box, more of a maroon color maybe, called Basic Scripture Studies. It's a set of booklets by A.E. Nock discussing this very thing that we're discussing here in this program. These are important studies. Now, the term soul is sometimes used as a figure of speech denoting a person from the standpoint of his sensations or his experience. Remember, we talked about the soul has to do with the sensations. For instance, the Apostle Paul was on a ship in the book of Acts, and Luke, the writer, talks about 276 souls being on board. And it calls attention to their feelings, their sensations, and their experience. And, you know, when all these people are on board ship that is about to crash, it gives you the idea of a lot of them were going through terror and anxiety and things like that. So that's how the word soul is sometimes used as a figure of speech. Now, how often you've heard the phrase, the immortality of the soul, but we realize that the soul can die. Immortality is not something man possesses of himself. The soul is not immortal. In Ezekiel 18:4, Yahweh says, "The soul that sins shall die." And in that context, Israel was accusing Yahweh of punishing them for their father's sins. And Yahweh's response says, "The soul that sins, he shall die." That is, the one who experienced the sensations connected with that sin, that person shall die. You see how the soul is used as a figure in that way. Again, it calls attention to their feelings and their sensations and their experience. So the very soul that committed those sins, that one shall die. Now, I don't know if you remember, if you haven't, go back to the previous recordings. I pointed out an experience in my church days when I was a pastor, when I first started coming to see the truth that hell is a lie and that man doesn't go to heaven or hell when he dies. And I did that because I started teaching that as I started studying this term soul. And if you remember, I gave the experience in my church on our midweek Bible study. I asked everyone to give us a definition of a soul. And almost everyone says it's that which distinguishes us from the beasts. Well, we only say that because the poor translations have blurred the distinction. The first time the word soul appears is in Genesis 1:20 in connection with animals. And in one of my posts, I post some of these audios on Facebook, one objector made a comment that, well, do animals have souls? I don't think this person actually listened to the whole audio. And the answer is animals are souls. And in Proverbs 12:10, it says this, "The just man knows the soul's needs of his, even his domestic beast, yet even the compassions of the wicked are cruel." Again, our theme here today is that the term soul is sometimes used as a figure of speech denoting a person, or here in this case, an animal, from the standpoint of its sensations. It calls attention to their feelings, sensations, and experience, and it's even applied here to a beast. Note, the life, it's not the life of the beast, as the King James has it, and other versions have it. It's the soul of the beast. In other words, the sensations of this beast. In this verse, Proverbs 12, verse 10, "The just man knows the soul's needs of even his domestic beast." He's concerned with the comfort of the beast, its feeding. He won't neglect its beast. You know, it's interesting, the Bible's against animal neglect. It's against it. A man will take care of his animal. And in this verse, it's contrasted with the compassions of the wicked, which are cruel. So it's in contrast to cruelty. We're not for cruelty to animals. And so the soul of the beast is even concerned in this in the scriptures. And Matthew 11, 28, continuing this theme, another verse that has been misquoted and misapplied, I think, but we're going to look at it here. In Matthew chapter 11, this gives great comfort for those who are involved in serving the Lord. In Matthew 11, 28 to 29, the Lord Jesus says this, "Hither to me, all who are toiling and laden." This is referring to people who are serving Christ, specifically in this context as disciples. This is not appeal to the unbeliever. When I was in the churches, they always took verses out of context. They ran to Matthew 11 here to try to teach the evangel of grace for this time, and has nothing to do with it. Here it says, "Hither to me, all who are toiling and laden." Those were the disciples who were working for their Lord. "And I will be giving you rest. Lift my yoke upon you and be learning from me, for meek am I and humble in heart, and you shall be finding rest in your souls. For my yoke is kindly and my load is light." The soul of his servants feel pressure in life. If you ever have, when you serve the Lord, you go through pressures and distresses. And I have to say this, speaking personally, and I can say this for my friends who are engaged in the Lord's work, who are teaching the evangel of the grace of God, and who are involved in the work of the ministry, we have lots of pressures and distresses. Yes, all of us do. But the point here is that the souls of Christ's servants feel pressure and distress, but they're going to find their rest in Christ. Isn't that? It's a wonderful thing here. The Lord is telling his students here, those who are serving him, that they will find their souls rest from all the pressures they go through that are connected with serving him. They'll find their rest in the Savior. Oh, what a precious thing that is. Well, that's all I got for today. Study these things out. Very important. Get a copy of the basic scripture study set by going to studyshelf.com. You scroll down a little bit on the right side of the page, add to the cart. You get those four booklets from A. Enoch that'll help you follow along in these studies. Now, next time, which will be next week, we'll come back on Monday, we're going to talk about the phrase, "The soul is in the blood," and we're going to talk about our soulish bodies. We're just about wrapping up the series on what is man and what is the soul, and we're going to move on even after that. We're going to start talking about the relationship between the Father and the Son, but that's coming ahead. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. I love you. Believe it. I love every one of you. Have a great weekend.